selection.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
There he is, Chicago. There's your new hopes and dreams.
Not a surprise that Caleb Williams goes number one overall. What is surprising, though, was the uncomfortable phone call that he had with his new general manager. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but it's very awkward. Very awkward. There was also, Ben, I don't know if you saw this, there was also some, I don't know if it's true, so much crap out on online and social media and stuff, but someone said that he paints his nails and he's got a pink phone.
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw that? Yeah. The immediate thought is, who cares?
Right.
Honestly, I mean, as long as he wins, as long as he goes out there and does his job, what difference does it make? And I think a lot of people will immediately turn to Dennis Rodman. When Dennis Rodman was at an elite effort, he wasn't doing that stuff. And he did it more for attention. You know, so what? I mean, who cares? I listen to rock bands, and back in the 80s and 90s, a lot of those guys wore makeup and lipstick and had frizzy hair and could pass for women too. So, and I still listen to the music. I don't think it really matters. What matters is how you handle yourself in the huddle, on the practice field, in the locker room, at the podium, but more importantly, on the field of play. Welcome back, third hour and final hour of X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan. Meyer hotline is 866-838-4843. Lions had six players. They needed, over the last 3 years, their secondary has been terrible. I think that's fair to say. Brad Holmes did what he possibly could to try and fix that with some free agents. Remember, he signed Cam Sutton, Emmanuel Mosley, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He drafted Brian Branch out of Alabama. That was a really good pick. This offseason, he traded for Carlton Davis. Now he adds Tyrion Arnold and Ennis Rankstraw. That's great. What do you expect from rookie corners? I've said this. It's the second, talking to scouts, the second hardest position to transition to from college to pro. The hardest is quarterback. Then it's cornerback. You're playing zones you're really not familiar with or as familiar with. And you're going up against guys who you didn't see in college. Wide receivers that you just didn't see in college. I think a lot of people, what they're going to do with Tyrion Arnold, well, maybe I'm jumping ahead here. Are they going to compare him to Darius Slay? Because he was Detroit's last elite corner, but he was a second-round pick. If they compare him to Jeff Okuda, that's a good thing for Tyrion Arnold. Can't be any worse than Jeff Okuda. But remember the pedigree Jeff Okuda had coming out of Ohio State. Played in a big conference. Played against really good wide receivers. Was the number one corner on everybody's board. Widely praised for what happened there. And it didn't work out. Darius Slay, when he came out of Mississippi State, he came to the Lions. Jim Schwartz was the head coach. I thought it was a really good pick. He's a really good player. But he was a man-to-man cornerback. He struggled in zone. Tyrion Arnold is widely viewed as a guy who excels in both. And that's a good sign. Let's go to the Meyer hotline, 866-838-4843. Ben, who's on the line for
us? Yeah, we got G.R. Scott.
Hey, G.R. Scott, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Chef. Hey,
good morning.
2 points, one on the Lions and draft and one on the Tigers. Let me get those out, and then you can comment afterwards if you would.
Fire.
First of all, on the Lions draft, I don't know that there's a lot of fanfare today just because it's something we expect now. I know it's tough for the media to see and everything else, but it's just that Brad Holmes has done it. He's proven. He's just proven. I don't think maybe less than 10% of the real Lions fans question him anymore. So they're like, yeah, he did what he's supposed to. Yay. Mm. Let's go. And, I mean, you look at it. Now we have five corners that are going to compete. You got three safeties, if you include Brian Branch, and you probably can include Brian Branch in the corners, too, because, so, I mean, they've shored up the back end. We probably got 8 to 9 guys on the front line. They're not everybody that we wanted, but people we can count on. We probably got 8 to 9 on the offensive line.
Mm. Okay.
And when somebody drops a wide receiver, somebody cuts a wide receiver here this summer, or we'll make a trade, he'll get the last piece. It's just we distrust him. Then a comment about the Tigers. I made a comment a couple weeks ago about Parker, and then I realized that I was doing the same thing that I did not like what the Red Wings fans were doing in evaluating this year. Or the only complaint, really, that I've heard about what the Red Wings did this year is that we weren't going to win the Stanley Cup this year, not with the goaltending we had.
Yeah.
And the big complaint was going to be, why didn't we bring up some of that youth that we've accumulated and let them get some ice time with the big boys? And that's a fair complaint. And Tigers are, you know, we definitely have a number one and number two starter. I think Casey Mize is rounded into shape now. But in truth, what do we have? Maybe three professional hitters in Canna, Vierling, and Green. I mean, guys that you trust with the bat in their hand out of 15 guys.
Hmm.
So keeping the youth up there, letting them get their at-bats. What did you say a couple of weeks ago? That 300 at-bats before you can evaluate, or 500 or something like that?
1,500.
1,500, okay. But, you know, so the Tigers are not going to win the World Series this year. But,
well,
we could make the playoffs. But if I kept that complaint out there about Meadows and Cole Keith, that maybe they need to go down for a month or a few weeks, then I'm being the same as what the Red Wings fans were complaining about the Red Wings. So,
I appreciate it, Scott. Have a great Monday. Very interesting call. Basically, it's a oh-hum moment for Lions fans because of the trust, and he used the word, and it's a key word, with Brad Holmes. The Tigers call is a little different. So he piques my interest there because I believe it's a winnable division. I'm surprised at Cleveland's early success, especially under a first-time manager in Stephen Vogt. Stephen Vogt's a guy who he had a long Major League Baseball career, never even managed at the collegiate or minor league level. And Cleveland's off to, and it's again early, off to a 19-9 start. They won 7 of their last 10. I'm surprised at Kansas City and their success. This is a winnable division. I think Tigers fans should expect them to win the division. I would argue this. If they don't, it's a disappointment. But he brought up some names that are interesting on who he thinks are professional hitters. I'm going to pick it up on Scott's thoughts after this. Stay with us. We're his X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan on the Michigan Sports Network. We'll be right back.
in the Den with Dan Dickerson.
Hey, Tigers fans, a new baseball season means a new season on Michigan's favorite island destination, Mackinac Island. Baseball, spring, and Mackinac Island. Things that return every year, reminding us what a great state we live in. Shake off the winter blahs. Take in a game and plan your trip to America's top summer destination, MackinacIsland.org. In case you weren't convinced by the finish last year, Tarik Skubal's start to 2024 has helped make it clear. Skubal is one of the most dominant pitchers in the game right now. Skubal shut out the Royals on 3 hits through 7 innings on Sunday. In his last 11 starts back to last September, Skubal has worked 67 innings, allowed just 35 hits, 10 walks, 82 strikeouts. Skubal puts opponents on the defensive right from the start by filling up the strike zone with his upper 90s fastball, mixed artfully with one of the best changeups in the game. His feel for how to attack a lineup is incredible. Tarik Skubal is really pitching right now, and what we're watching is special.
We're teeing off our 10th year. At the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
And asking basically, almost calling himself out, saying, look, I called a couple of weeks back, wanted to give up on Parker Meadows, didn't have enough at-bats, and he doesn't. It's way too early to judge Parker Meadows. He's a former second-round pick. Do I think he's going to be a great player? I think he's a really good defensive player. I think he's going to be borderline great defensive player. But I don't know. I really don't know if Parker Meadows is going to be an all-star player. I don't think he can hit well enough to do that. But he is young. And then Scott basically said, how many players do you really trust with a bat in their hands? And he mentioned Matt Vierling, who I like a lot, former fifth-round pick out of Notre Dame. Mark Canna, who's a one-year stopgap, right? And Riley Green. Now, I would remind... Does this tell you the state of the Tigers or not? Listen to this. Matt Vierling's 27. Matt Vierling has 950 at-bats in his career. He's a .262 hitter in his career with 20 home runs in his career. And he hit one the other day to win it for him. And again, this has nothing to do with him. I like him a lot. Let me give you an idea of who else is 27. And I only bring this up because Scott got it piqued my interest. He got me thinking. This is what I love about doing this show with callers like Scott. That's an interesting point. He's 27. And we consider him one of those guys you trust with a bat in his hand. But he's a career .260 hitter with only 20 home runs. You know who else is 27? Yordan Alvarez. Yordan Alvarez is 27. Ozzie Albies is 27. Luis Arraez is 27. Rafael Devers is 27. And Rafael Devers has won a couple of Silver Sluggers, 3 All-Star appearances, has 175 home runs, and is a career .280 hitter. Austin Riley, who had the game-winning RBI for the Braves yesterday, is 27. Kyle Tucker, phenomenal player, is 27. Those are the guys you want with a bat in your hand. Scott brings up Mark Canna. Just a one-year guy. He's 35. You know who's older than that? Paul Goldschmidt. Now, maybe that's unfair because Paul Goldschmidt is one of the best of his generation. But still, he's incredible. Seven-time All-Star, four-time Gold Glover, five-time Silver Slugger. That's my point, man. You need guys like that. It doesn't assure you anything, but boy, it makes you a lot more comfortable, doesn't it? When you watch those guys dig into the box in a tight situation, and they're there. That's who you want. When Scott said, who do you feel comfortable with as a hitter for the Tigers? I started searching quickly. The file in my brain immediately went, who do I want in that type of situation? Who's coming through for me? I like Riley Green a lot. I think he's a really good player. What's he got, 850 at-bats in the majors? We have, how shall I put this? We have lowered our sights to a certain extent. Gone from a Tigers team organization with guys like Miguel Cabrera, Placido Polanco, Maglio Ordonez, Ivan Rodriguez, Carlos Guillen, Curtis Granderson. I bring those names up. Tell me what you think. Tell me who you want in a clutch hitting situation. Go. You could name any of them. Most of you would go with Cabrera. But I could talk to eight people. I might get six different answers. I ask eight different people now. Who's the answer? Scott's saying Mark Canna, Matt Vierling, or Riley Green. Think about that. Now, maybe this flies in the face of what I was saying and how I believe the Tigers should win the division. And it should be a disappointing season if they don't. And don't tell me, don't give me the front office coach speak stuff of, well, this is not, no, we tried to calm people down. We tried to tell them that's not necessarily the case, that we're not ready to contend. Oh, bull crap, man. You bring in Jack Flaherty, Kenta Maeda, sprinkle in the young guys. You're bringing in established players like Canna, like Gio Urshela. Sprinkle in the young guys, right? That's the way teams compete. The division is weak. We all know that. You made great strides a year ago. You feel like, you know, if last year, if the AL Central was won with 87 victories, and it was by the Minnesota Twins, and you had 78, I'm not saying every year you got to go up, but many people felt like you're getting over 80 wins, right? Oh, big deal. Raise the flag that you're going to be near 500. You're trying to tell me the Tigers shouldn't be expected to win 87 games? And I'm not saying that's going to win the division. I'm just asking. You don't think the Tigers should be expected to win 87 games like they did, like the division champion did a year ago? Or 92, in which Cleveland won in 2022? White Sox won the division with 93. You're probably going to need about 90 wins. You think the Tigers could get 90 wins in this division? You should. You should think that. I've told you about how disappointing it is that ownership has not committed financially. They should not rank where they are. Not in this market. Sorry, they shouldn't. They should spend more money than what they have spent. That doesn't always equate to victories. It doesn't always equate to division championships. But it sure as hell helps. Scott's telling me and telling our listening audience, he feels comfortable with Mark Canha, Matt Vierling, or Riley Green in the box in a tight situation. Nothing against any of those guys. I don't know Canada that well. Vierling and Green, I know them, love them. Want them on my team. But listen to what the other teams have to offer, even within the division. Jose Ramirez? Salvador Perez? These are big-time players. And Perez is 33. But going into the weekend, he led the American League in RBIs. That tells you, I mean, Scott's phone call tells you where this team is at. We talk about the Lions and what their needs are. Tigers need some offense. They didn't do anything to go out and get it. Phone number on the Meyer hotline, 866-838-4843, the text line, Sports Radio to 21,000. We're back with the final half hour on X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network after this.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive, boys and girls, high school sports, MHSAA.tv. That's MHSAA.tv. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
June 23rd, the world's most notorious rock band is coming to Soaring Eagle Casino. Motley Crue. The Crue. Soaring Eagle Summer Outdoor Concert Series. Tickets start at $54 and are on sale now at the box office and online at etix.com. Party hard, then take a ride on the wild side. Motley Crue. Sunday, June 23rd at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort.
Lindholm, the Ian Cole. Cole across the ice, and it's Quinn Hughes with a shot. That one sails high. Ooh. Two goals and 6-on-5 for the Vancouver Canucks. In front, Lindholm scores! Elias Lindholm! An unlikely overtime win for Vancouver!
I think that was on TNT either way. Impressive win for Vancouver. They're now up 3-1 on Nashville. Brock Baser, by the way, had a hat trick. Two goals in the final, 2:49 to force overtime. Other winners on ice. Colorado, they blow out Winnipeg 6-1. They have scored five or more in each game. Valerie Nikushkin with his first career hat trick. He played over 500 career games. That's his first hat trick. And it comes in a playoff. The last one is an empty net, but who cares? The Rangers broom Washington 4-2. Artemi Panarin had a goal and an assist. Alexander Ovechkin goes the entire series without a point. Edmonton blanked the Kings 1-0. Stuart Skinner with 33 saves. His first career playoff shutout. They're up 3-1. In the NBA, Clippers beat the Mavericks by 5, despite Kyrie Irving having 40. James Harden had 33 for LA. Paul George had 26 of his 33 in the first half. The Mavs were down 31 points and came back and took the lead. Ended up losing, though. Series is tied at 2. Minnesota brooms Phoenix 122-116. I used to think that you needed at least 3 superstars in the NBA to win a championship. I don't know if I don't know if that's going to be true anymore. I know this. Phoenix, with Durant and Booker and Beal, have three stars. They're not superstars, but they're stars. And they get swept. Knicks beat the Sixers 97-92. Jalen Brunson becomes the first Knick ever with 40 points or more and 10 assists or more in a playoff game. Who would have thought that? Did you anticipate Jalen Brunson out of Villanova as a second-round pick to be this type of player? Yeah, me either. You think Dallas is pissed that they got rid of him? He played his first 4 years in Dallas. He should be in the MVP conversation. He's been incredible for New York all season long. They're not a two seed in the East without Jalen Brunson. Hell no. And Indiana beats Milwaukee. Pacers hit 22 triples. They're up 3-1 on a Milwaukee team that is underachieving. Plain and simple. Underachieving. Blame it on injuries. Antetokounmpo, Lillard, Middleton. Blame it on coaching. Doc Rivers. I don't care. Doesn't hide the fact that they've underachieved. Tigers are 4-1 winner. Tarek Skubal, incredible. 7 innings, 6 strikeouts, 1 run. 4th Tigers pitcher with 4 wins and an ERA under 2 before May since 1913. Franchise has been around since 1901. Since 1913, only 4 pitchers have done what he's done so far. Wensil Perez with a 2-run homer, his first as a major leaguer. Meyer Hotline is 866-838-4843. You can text us. Sports Radio 21,000. We got a phone call.
That's right.
Ben, what do we got?
Trucker B.
Hey, there we go. Old friend. What's up, Trucker
B? How's it going? Long time no talk to.
How you been?
I want to piggyback on what you had to say about the Tigers. You know, I agree with what you have to say. But there's still a lot of young pieces there. And I believe Carpenter can be that one. You know, he's still doesn't even have a full season in. Perez is just lighting my eyes up. Like, where's this kid coming from? And he's being a little more selective. Baez is finally, he struck out the other day, and I said to my wife, I said, that was a good strikeout. And there's no such thing. But it was slider. He did not swing. And they pinned the fastball on the outside corner. I says, that tells me he's starting to look at that outside pitch and let it go. And he's starting to get on base, and that was my biggest gripe, was he needs to just get on base, because if he gets on first, he's going to have second. Mm-hmm. You know that. I know that. And that's what, some of my problems with him is. A defense, obviously is outstanding. But we do have a lot of young pieces in there that still has to grow. Riley isn't at his, I don't think it is fully potential. There's sometimes I think, what the heck you're doing? But I do that a lot with the players. But I think Carpenter could be that superstar. I really do. And Keith, if he needs just to get out of his own way. I think he's in his own head right now.
Yeah, I like Carey a lot. I don't think I would ever tab him as a potential superstar, but I do like him. Here's my question, though. And I don't think I totally disagree with you. Jake Rogers is 29. Javier Baez is 31. Gio Russell is 32. Mark Canha is 35. Zach McKinstry is 29. Carson Kelly is 29. Matt Vierling, as I mentioned, is 27. Do you think they're really that young? Now, granted, Cole Keith, Spencer Torkelson is 24. Right? But he does have a few years under his belt. Riley Green, to a certain extent, and Parker Meadows. I think it's a balance. I wouldn't call them young. I don't think I'd call them old either. But they've got plenty of experience on that team. Shelby Miller's 33. Kenta Maeda's 36. Jack Flaherty's almost 29. Andrew Chafin's 34. They got plenty of guys. I wouldn't say that they're a young team, would you?
Nah. No, but, you know, you're talking about Flaherty being 29, but 29, isn't that kind of starting to get into the prime as a pitcher? And he has seemed to done a lot better this year than he has last year so far. I mean, he's...
Yeah, he's for sure. I mean, last year he was
last
hurt.
Last outing was due to errors where they scored the runs. I mean,
sure.
They've been doing really well, and then all of a sudden they hit a wall and start committing some dumb errors again, which they need to clean up, obviously. But
yeah, I take it with a grain of salt. I agree with you.
Right.
I'm not suggesting that they're old by any stretch. I think they're experienced, though. So I think there is a difference between age and experience. You don't have to necessarily say, well, he's a young player at the age of 24. If he has started for 4 years, I don't know if that's necessarily young anymore. If you're telling me that a guy is old at the age of 27, but he only has 580 at-bats, then he's not necessarily old. I mean, there should be a concern of yours. And that's no one won the Tigers, by the way. I mean, Matt Vierling's 27. He's got 950 at-bats. I don't even know if you can make a judgment on that just yet. But at age 27, I mean, you know, eventually you're going to have to make a decision on something like that because he's being viewed more as a role player than he is as an everyday guy.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about Vierling that makes him so damn likable? He's not the one where you go up there and think, okay, yeah, here we go. But then you're not sitting there, oh, great. Here comes Vierling. He's got that it factor, I guess I want to say. You just liked him from the word go. It's like, that was a nice trade to pick him up.
Yeah, here's what I like about him. Yeah, I'll tell you this, and thanks for the phone call. It's great to talk to you again. Call, please, anytime, Trucker B. Here's what this may sound too simplistic and Pollyannish. He's your typical Midwest person. He's happy. He smiles. He's down to earth. He's from Missouri. He went to Notre Dame. He played multiple positions. At times, he was a pitcher. He was a back-end, kind of a closer guy at Notre Dame. He's versatile. I think what you like about him, or what I like about him, he battles his ass off. Really good stuff. I do. I want him on my team. This is what happens when you get versatile players, though. People wonder, what's his position? He's got a strong arm. He can play third. Is he nimble enough? I'm not calling him Matt Chapman or Nolan Arenado or Ryan McMahon. He could play right field for you and I'd have no problem. He could play center field and no problem. Maybe not every day because I think Meadows and Green are better center fielders than he is. But I'd feel comfortable with him on a certain day in any of those three positions. And I think he battles. And then you have to ask yourself, where do you fit in a lineup? And I think that's part of the problem with Detroit. And it's funny because we're talking about this after a 4-1 win and after a series win over a Kansas City team that had been playing pretty damn good baseball. So I don't want to be negative. I'm just thinking out loud, and Scott brought this up earlier in our conversations. Matt Vierling is batting, what, fifth in the lineup? On a really good team, he's probably batting eighth or ninth. And therein lies the issue. You need power in the middle of the lineup, and I don't think they possess it. Let's go to another phone call on the Meyer Hotline, 866-838-4843. Ben, who's waiting for us?
G.B. Ritz.
Nice. G.B. Ritz, how are you, my friend? Good to talk to you again.
I'm doing well, Matt. Thank you for taking the call. And, yes, don't be negative, Shep. Never be negative on the show.
Right.
We don't want negativity in Detroit.
Trying to be realistic, though, too. Yeah, there's a difference.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yep. So my point is, the point I was going to suggest is, I think Brad Holmes' draft this year was better than last year.
Wow.
On this point, that last year he had six picks in the top three, six picks in the first three rounds last year. Easy to make a big splash if you pick the right people, which he did in Laporta, Campbell, Gibbs, and further on down the line. He got high quality impact players that helped the Lions last year. Well, this year he had two picks in the first two rounds, and they were low picks. And then he traded our third round pick to move up in the second round. So we were void of a pick till the fifth round until he maneuvered and got a fourth round pick and, you know, finagled his way through the later rounds by getting, you know, exchanging picks from next year to get picks this year. I mean, he did a masterful job this year to get the talent to fill voids on your theory of drafting the best player available, but still getting players to fill needs. So I think his draft this year was on the same par as last year.
That's interesting. I didn't look at it like that, but now that you've opened my eyes a little bit, and thanks for the phone call, GB Ritz, I will have to investigate that. I'm going to hold judgment only because we don't know what these players are yet. And we do know how effective last year's players were, especially the three you mentioned. And that may not, they may not continue at that rate, but their rookie seasons, find me a better rookie class that Detroit has had. Those four guys, let's talk four guys. Let's talk Gibbs and Laporta and Campbell and Branch. I can't think of a better draft class the Lions have had. I'm going to reserve judgment on this year's draft class because even though I like it, I'm not going to claim to know what kind of player Manu was in British Columbia. I do like the first two picks, not because of need, because of the player. I think Pittsburgh had arguably the best draft. You know, Chicago with Williams at Adunze is pretty damn strong. But with Pittsburgh, Fatanu, I told you this last week, he's one of my favorite players in the draft. He's the tackle out of Washington. I think I tweeted going into the second round, Zach Frazier might be there. He's the center out of West Virginia. So I really like him. Pittsburgh drafted Roman Wilson, the wide receiver out of Michigan. I texted, or tweeted, I should say, before the start of the third round, Colson is there, or the linebackers are still there. Colson, Wilson, Peyton Wilson. I think Colson was taken in the second round by the Chargers. But I love Peyton Wilson. He's the linebacker out of NC State. He's a mother trucker. Hard part there is that he gets injured. And then they drafted Mason McCormick, the South Dakota State offensive guard. Highly rated. Those are really good picks. That's five really good picks by Pittsburgh. But they have more needs. They have more needs than the Lions do. We need to keep that in perspective. So we'll see. But I like that perspective, GB Ritz, on from last year to this year. Maybe at this time a year from now, we would have a better understanding of it to see how these guys do. I'm telling you right now, we got to be prepared. It's not automatic, but we've got to be prepared for some disappointment with Rakestraw, because he may not start right away, and Arnold, because if he does start, at times he's going to get humbled. That's just the way that position is. The wide receivers, the players, the quarterbacks, they're just too good in the National Football League. Ben, do we have any texts?
We do. This one goes back to the Tigers. It says the Detroit Tigers' current 16-12 record projects to a season ending 92-70.
That would be nice. It should be enough to win the division. Although if Detroit projects to have 92, Cleveland would project to have more. I don't think a wild card's coming from the AL Central. But I hope that is on par. I would love to see that. But I think they got to win the division. I truly believe they should feel like they are the best team in the division. Pitching will be vital. You know that already. It's going to be so important. So important. Because, look, Detroit, I know Kansas City's just ahead of them. Detroit is better than Chicago. That's obvious. They're better than Kansas City. The Royals are just not ready yet. They cannot. I don't believe they can sustain this. I like two of their young players, maybe three. And Massey's got a long way to go. I don't think he's an everyday player. But I love Bobby Witt Jr., and I really like Vinny Pascantino. Outside of that, not a big MJ Melendez guy. Kyle Isbell's just a guy. Michael Massey, like I said, come off the bench maybe for me, spot start, so on and so forth. They're not ready for that. Cleveland scares me. And maybe it's because of some balance that they have and because of their history. But Detroit and Minnesota is – Minnesota's got as much talent. Minnesota probably has the most talent in the division. But if Detroit can get their pitching right and their defense right, they should win this division. And if they don't, we should be disappointed. Thanks to the phone calls today on the Meyer Hotline. Thanks to all your texts as well. Thanks to Ben, our producer. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning. X's and Bros here across the great state of Michigan, Monday through Friday, 6 until 9 on the Michigan Sports Network. Have a great Monday, everybody.
We played for the thrill, that rush you feel with the game on the line. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver. Now, with Eagle Casino and Sports, the new sportsbook app from Soaring Eagle, anywhere I'm at, I'm still in the game.
Sign up now and get up to $1,000. That's right, up to $1,000 for a risk-free bet on your next favorite underdog, parlay, or prop.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Huge here for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottle neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up 4 scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
We're teeing off our 10th year. At the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Huge here for my good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now, they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now, if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000. And you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and The Huge Show. Coming up later today at 3 on The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network, I'll deliver huge opinions on everything you're talking about.